Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Mraz. Today's show was fuller than me after an NFL Sunday. Enjoy the takes and laughs in the best of the DA show.
But we begin with Le'Veon Bell, where he has found his new home. Le'Veon had plenty of suitors despite being a malcontent in New York. And the suitor that he decided on is perhaps the best team in football. Despite the loss against the Raiders last week, the Kansas City Chiefs are defending Super Bowl champions and are 4-1 on the season. And now an offense with one of the most dynamic play-calling minds ever and already one of the most explosive arms ever and a team of wide receivers that are incredible and one of the best pass-catching tight ends ever has added a Pro Bowl running back at 28 years old. Where is Le'Veon Bell in his career? How will they use the Chiefs? And does he make Kansas City unstoppable? It is where we begin. Your cold open.
It's no secret coming out of New York. There's been talk about friction between Le'Veon Bell and Adam Gase in terms of how Le'Veon was used. With Andy Reid, one thing we know about him, he knows offense and he knows how to put his players in positions to succeed. He will do that with Lev.
I'm sure he'll get an opportunity somewhere else and, you know, we'll see what happens.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, Park Grundy.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
That voice you heard was Jim Trotter on NFL Network, and that was Adam Gase being asked about whether he thought Le'Veon Bell would get another chance, and he simply says, we'll see what happens. I said this before, I'm not backtracking simply because of the destination. Had Le'Veon Bell landed with the Jaguars, I'd have to say the same thing. Le'Veon Bell's not Le'Veon Bell of 5 years ago. Le'Veon Bell is not Le'Veon Bell of 3 years ago. He has taken a year off. He then came back with the Jets and last year was largely mediocre and this year has been completely unproductive. The idea that at 20 years old, you're going to zoom back the clock to 24, 25, when he was remarkably productive, is something that I don't think is going to happen. Plus, the Chiefs don't need him to do that. They've got Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who's a rookie, who's obviously got fresh legs, has been very good for them. So I don't believe, no matter where Le'Veon Bell went, you were going to get the Le'Veon Bell of his prime in Pittsburgh. And I also think that the way Bell handled his time in New York was the sign of a guy that can go into the tank quickly. I did not like the way that he handled himself, certainly this year. And at the end of the Pittsburgh reign, that was a headache as well, if you remember. Is he going to come back? Is he going to sit out? What is he going to dress? And even his Pittsburgh teammates were sick of it. But I'll say this. If there was a match made in heaven for Bell, it's this one. Because he doesn't have to be the feature back because they've got Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Also, they'll probably largely use him on the goal line. So you're going to see Bell probably vulture a lot of touchdowns after Edwards-Helaire does a lot of the heavy work, the grunt work between the 20s and up until the red zone. Because that's the one hole the Chiefs have had on the ground. They have not been good at the goal line. They have not been good in short yardage situations at the goal line. Edwards-Helaire has been phenomenal in between the 20s, but when the defense has crunched up to the goal line, when the defense has all stacked the line, Edwards-Helaire has not been the power back that they have needed to get into the end zone. Really, they don't have a lot of rushing touchdowns, one from Tyreek Hill, one from Patrick Mahomes, and I think one from Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So that's where Le'Veon Bell fits. And thus, you're going to see a production from an end zone standpoint where I think that's going to be a big deal, and it'll look like Le'Veon Bell is scoring a lot of points, scoring a lot of touchdowns, being really productive. Certainly also Le'Veon Bell can be used out of the backfield where Reed and Mahomes and that offense has been so good with their running backs, so incredibly good. But they have actually been looking for a second head, a second body at the ground position, at the running back position since the offseason when Damian Williams opted out. So this fits for the Chiefs because they have a need, and it fits for Bell because you know Reed's going to put you in a position with space or a position to succeed, and you're only one of a number of weapons. So frankly, this is great for both sides, and it gives Bell a chance, as you might imagine, to stick his thumb in the eye of Adam Gase, because he's going to be winning football games whether he does anything or not, and Adam Gase won't be because the Jets are a dumpster fire. So Bell gets his revenge. He'll probably be pretty productive. The Chiefs don't have to get him at some type of 2017 level, and he gets to shove it right in the face of Adam Gase. This is a win all around, I think, because the Chiefs don't need him to do everything, because the Chiefs are already a machine without him. I think for the Kansas City Chiefs, he only makes them more dynamic. And they were already close to unstoppable with him. I think that Le'Veon Bell only makes them even more dangerous. The rich get richer here for the Chiefs, and can you believe that an offense that has Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire now adds Le'Veon Bell? Also, I mean, throw in Sammy Watkins, Mecole Hardman, and you're just talking about a series of weapons that more gadgets, more toys for Reed to have. This is one of those things where the Chiefs were already the favorites of the AFC, and this makes them even stronger. The only downside to me that I see is if for some reason Bell's ego doesn't allow him to just appreciate and accept that other guys are going to get a lot of touches. You know, he might get the same limited touches he got in New York. It's just going to be on a winning team and probably closer to the goal line, so more touchdowns, and you're part of a weaponry. You're part of an arsenal. That's the thing. I don't think that Le'Veon Bell's numbers, I mean, straight numbers, will be any better than you saw in New York with the Jets. I mean, in terms of carries and yards per game, and you're just not going to see much more than that. They don't need him for more than that. The difference is he'll be part of a better culture because they're winning, B, part of winning so he'll be happier, and C, with a head coach that if there's a way to use him, Reed will find the way to use him. So now it's just up to Le'Veon Bell to be happier there than he was in New York, which feels inevitable, feels like that's a no-brainer, although it is Bell we're talking about, who has made some very head-scratching decisions over the last 3 years. The Chiefs add Bell. Watch out, AFC. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. We got plenty of Chiefs fans that listen to the show. Where are you guys at with the Le'Veon Bell signing? Mraz, is there any downside for the Chiefs to add Bell to the roster?
None whatsoever. And I think you brought up a good point. Even if he has a lack of touches, I think the problem in New York is he knows Adam Gase didn't want to use him. And if you're not being used and the team is awful and you feel like the team doesn't have to be as awful if you're contributing, I think that's got to be a big mental struggle for him. But if the team is winning and the offense is scoring 30-something points a game and you're getting your couple touches a game, I mean, how could you sit there on the sideline and have that same mentality that maybe your lack of touches is hurting the team? I think if you feel like what you're doing and those touches then are resulting in wins or offensive scoring drives, I think it's way different. Also, it should be noted that the one thing that the Chiefs have kind of shown their warts on the last couple of weeks has been Clyde Edwards-Helaire's pass protection. Mahomes getting hit a little bit more as a rookie. Maybe it's becoming a little overwhelming, maybe a little too much. This will allow Clyde Edwards-Helaire to take a step back, breathe a little bit, because Le'Veon Bell is also very good at pass protection. Third downs, can chip, can get out, catch those kind of passes. So don't sleep on that. As far as Mahomes was starting to take a few more hits, case in point, that Raider game, this will help the Chiefs' offense immensely in that department as well.
If Bell commits to pass blocking, that would be huge. That would be absolutely huge for the Chiefs as an addition. I don't think there really would have been any type of role for him had Damian Williams not opted out of the season. Williams was so good in the Super Bowl and would be the perfect complementary back to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But once he opted out, there ended up being a space on the roster and within the offense for Bell. And I got to imagine that's the primary reason that Reed wanted him and why Bell felt he would get some touches and why he felt he would have a role in the offense. I think there's other places he could have had more touches. I think there's other places he could have been more of a primary focus of the offense. So maybe that's also a good sign that Bell doesn't need that, because, you know, he was looking at a couple of other places where you would think not nearly the complement of weapons the Chiefs had, and he would be a more focal point of the attack. And he decided against it. My guess is he feels like winning is something that would be refreshing right now after these 2 years in New York. So I wonder if it's that plus knowing that winning gets to shove it in Adam Gase's face.
And they do play the Jets on November 1st, so he will get a taste to play Adam Gase in a couple weeks. And I do think there's just one more interesting part of this. If the 49ers hold that Super Bowl lead, I'm not sure the Chiefs are making this move today, because Andy Reid would still be chasing the ghost of having not won a Super Bowl, and I'm not sure you take the chance that your locker room gets disrupted or anything like that. I think the fact that the Chiefs and Andy Reid have already now won a Super Bowl has completely changed the mindset on who they could plug into that roster and really not miss a beat, because that hurdle of, hey, we are champions, we know we can execute, has been exercised already.
And he also, right, the Chiefs right now feel a little infallible. Like, if it doesn't work with Le'Veon Bell, who cares? We'll cut him. We're fine. We can win a Super Bowl without him. And they don't worry about culture stuff. They don't worry about bringing guys in that might ruin it, because either they jettison him or their culture is so good, there's no way that, you know, even somebody can be disgruntled or unhappy because everybody's pitching in. I mean, there's a lot of guys in there that have better numbers other places because there's so many weapons. But because of the type of offense that they have, it's fun. I got to imagine, you know, a guy like Sammy Watkins thinks it's fun that Tyreek Hill gets all those touchdowns that might not be his, or that Mecole Hardman might vulture some of his touchdowns because, hey, going 14-2 and playing with Patrick Mahomes and having a couple of games a year where you get 120 passing yards and two touchdowns is enough. So winning cures a lot of things, and I wonder if it'll be so for Bell. He's been a hard read for a long time in the NFL, but he opted in. He had choices, so we'll see if that's enough for him. The Chiefs get Le'Veon Bell.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Thanks for being with us on this fine Friday. Remember that full episodes are available in podcast form, so simply find your favorite podcast platform, search The DA Show, and subscribe. Full episodes or the best of automatically uploaded to your phone or your computer or your tablet to listen at your listening pleasure. Here is AJ Green. Last week, there was a damning play where after an interception thrown by Joe Burrow, A.J. Green not only didn't want to tackle the defensive back, but he actively ran the opposite direction. People wondering if A.J. Green is bitter about his contract situation in Cincinnati and may want to play elsewhere. Here is Green.
Yeah, of course. Why not? I think we're building something special here. And I just want to be a part of the team and help us win.
When A.J. Green says, yeah, of course, he was asked, would you prefer to stay in Cincinnati? Green, it's interesting. If he's smart, he does want to stay. If he's smart, he does want to make this the next however many years of a contract, if the Bengals are willing to go there. Understandably, the Bengals might be very tepid on giving him much money because he's been so injury prone. The last 2 years, he's really been banged up. And last season specifically, he didn't even play. And the year before, he catches only 46 passes for less than 700 yards. So in terms of A.J. Green's production, he was outrageous. Every year, basically, from 2011 through 2017. Every year a Pro Bowler, almost every year a 1,000-yard receiver. And those years of the prime A.J. Green were as good as most any other wide receiver. And he never got the attention of Odell Beckham, never got the attention of Julio Jones, not even the attention of DeAndre Hopkins. But in terms of the most productive wide receivers of the game and the best, A.J. Green was right up there with those guys. He just played in a team that simply could not win a playoff game and played in Cincinnati, so he was just overlooked a lot. The issue is, right now, he's not that guy. He's not that guy that he once was. And if I'm A.J. Green at 32 years old, I'm trying to be on my best behavior in Cincinnati because now I've got a quarterback that I know is going to maximize my talent. I'm not 28 years old anymore. I'm not a 1,300-yard wide receiver. But I've got a quarterback that I know, if I'm on point, is going to get me the football, and they're going to win football games. That much is obvious with the Cincinnati Bengals. Burrow has already proven that he is better than most rookie quarterbacks that ever come into this league, and he is changing the culture there almost overnight. If I'm Green, I'm not getting a big deal anywhere else because who wants a 32-year-old wide receiver that, you know, was so banged up the last couple of years? So if I'm Green, I'm not trying to shoot my way out of town with the Bengals. I'm saying this is where I've built a potential Hall of Fame career. Even if it's not a Hall of Fame career, it's an elite career. I'm going to be in this Ring of Honor one day. And let me finish my career here because I think right now they're on the uptick and I've got a quarterback that I know is going to find me if I'm open. I think it's crazy at this point for A.J. Green to try to go chase anything anywhere else. Dak Prescott went to Instagram to address the fans and the public for the first time since his injury on Sunday.
What's up, everyone? Just want everyone to know that I'm doing well. And I can't thank you enough for all your love, your support, your prayers over the last few days. They've been more than overwhelming. From teammates to family to friends to fans I don't know to former and current players around the league and players around all sports. I just wanted to say thank you. They're definitely appreciated and received well. So just knowing that I have that much love and support out there makes a huge difference. In great spirits. Headed to see the doctor, headed to see my leg for the first time post-surgery. So just ready to start this road to comeback. I know this little adversity is just going to be another chapter in the book.
It is great to hear Dak Prescott in good spirits. It is great to hear him optimistic. And I wish him nothing but the best because Dak Prescott's been a model teammate. He's been a guy that has put in the work. He's been a guy that has won football games. He came from being a fourth-round draft pick, so he has earned everything that he has gotten. Everything. Nothing was handed to Dak Prescott. As I've said before, I thought earlier in the week it was wildly irresponsible for Jerry Jones to suggest that he was going to be back for spring practice. To me, if you are the Dallas Cowboys, you don't even let Dak Prescott think about playing in the spring. Maybe you allow him to, you know, try to use that as a carrot, as his goal. there is no reason for Dak Prescott to be on a football field or be looking at OTAs in March and mini camps in April and May. That to me is ridiculous. You don't even think about it until July in training camp if he's all the way back at that point in time. But I'm very happy that the surgery went well. I'm very happy that Dak is in good spirits. When you see him leaving the field in that cart and his tears are streaming over his face, that's just a really difficult thing to watch. Because these athletes, yeah, they're really well paid, and yes, they're celebrities, and they live a life that we would all like to live. But at the end of the day, their passions, their livelihoods are being taken away in that moment, in the blink of an eye. And you can see the emotion coming over their face, and that, to me, is where you're human, and you just go, man, I feel for that guy. I don't know that guy personally, but I can understand where his emotions are right now, and I feel for him. And finally, on a Target Demo Friday, a little reminder to let us know where you're at, how you're doing, and where you're watching, or where you're listening, rather. Where are you going to be watching tomorrow night's Bama-Georgia game? It's a huge one, number 2 versus number 3. And for Nick Saban, he's not going to be allowed. He won't be on the sideline tomorrow night as the Tide take on the Bulldogs. But how much communication will he have with Steve Sarkisian, who is going to be in his place on the sideline as the head caller and the not quite the head coach, but in Saban's place tomorrow night? Here is Nick Saban.
Well, you know, the autonomy part we haven't really decided yet, but in light of the fact that any coach could test positive, we try to have a protocol in place for, you know, if we lost a coach, especially one in a leadership position, who would, you know, step in for them. Obviously, Sark has been a head coach before. And I'm not sure exactly how this is going to play out in terms of when the game comes, you know, whether our communication with people or not. So we'll have to research and sort of figure that one out. But we did have a plan for each coach on the staff as to what might happen. And we just got to go from there. Just like if we lose a player, we have to do the same thing.
I'm always fascinated by situations like this where the great coaches are forced to improvise and kind of coach with one hand tied behind their back. When Bill Belichick lost Tom Brady week one of the 2008 season, what do you do? When the Patriots don't have Cam Newton, what do you do? When we see the greatest head coaches ever that are forced into abnormal situations, how do they react? Because they're so, so, so good. They're so supreme when they've got their full complement of weapons and they know exactly the predictability of a given week. But what happens when it's unpredictable? I love watching that. And this is going to be one of those puzzles to solve. We were discussing this yesterday about how much communication he'd be allowed to have with the press box, with the sideline, and we didn't know, and it sounds like Nick Saban and the SEC doesn't know yet. I knew that Nick Saban would have the plan of, if I'm out, this is what happens. If you're out, this is what happens. Here's how the roles shift. Here's how the roles change, because he's so buttoned up, and he's so detail-oriented, and he's so ready for every situation. So, no doubt, he was going to be prepared. But can you be prepared for what happens tomorrow night if you don't even know the rules of engagement yet? And I would imagine the SEC allows Saban to have communication with his sideline. I would imagine. I know that there is a rule in the NFL where you can't do it. This is how the Browns got into trouble a couple of years ago when their general manager was texting their offensive coordinator in the box. I realize that in the NFL, there's very specific regulations around it. In this case, it's an SEC game, and Nick Saban rules the roost in the SEC. It's not his fault he got COVID, so is he going to be disallowed from communicating with anybody in the stadium? I highly doubt it. Does he have a direct line to Sarkisian on the sideline? Probably not. But a direct line to somebody, one of his assistant coaches in the box, that can get that message to Sarkisian, I would put money on yes. That game's going to be fascinating tomorrow night. And that is your sound check.
The one, come all, step inside. side. It's this date in mothership history.
Let's go back 2 years ago, where on October the 16th, Mraz was very upset because I didn't pay for breakfast. Roll tape!
He orders a lunch, you order a breakfast.
Yeah.
I run downstairs with $20, hand it to the guy. 24 hours later, I mean, I'm not eating and I'm paying for everybody's food around this place now? What the heck is going on? Listen, I would have been fine to buy you guys breakfast. I really, but just ask. Nobody asked. And now I'm out on it. It's unbelievable, you know, you guys.
You're pathetic.
I didn't get money. I would have given it to you. You don't have to save it for Trash Tuesday jump out of the bushes on me.
That's not what happened.
So now I know I have to give you the money.
No, I mean, it's up to you whether you want to or not. But here we are on Trash Tuesday.
Yeah, now it's up to me. I offer to buy breakfast. I got a breakfast burrito. Bilotti orders the sandwich, puts it away for later. Is that okay?
No, it's not okay. He used you for a meal knowing he had already eaten breakfast. It was wrong by Pete.
And it's not surprising.
Bad guy. Bad guy.
First off, I actually ate the breakfast an hour later in the show. So
no, he didn't.
Yes, I did.
He's a liar.
No,
we have the camera rolling on the stream. He's a liar.
Forget it.
Pete's a liar. Pete is a liar. He ate it after the show. You didn't offer to buy lunch. He's a liar. You all stiffed me on $20. This whole food
thing. You got your $20. I wasn't involved in this.
And you'll get your $20.
Pete, are you sure? Because Mraz says you're a liar.
Yeah, I'm sure. You're going to believe him?
No. I believe you because you're a man of integrity and you're a man of your word.
Yes. He's not, though, but okay.
You weren't even in the studio. Why are we asking you, Bogus?
We learned he's the buffet bandit, though.
Exactly.
So, you know, who could trust this guy?
Yeah.
Sean, you'll be working every day off for the question.
He already is.
This is one of the more outrageous arguments that we've had in a debate that still rages 2 years later. I don't know how we transitioned between these two. So I said I was going to buy breakfast. You went down to get breakfast. I didn't pay you back. And then you jumped me on Trash Tuesday?
Yes, because it ended up being I had already ate. First time I ever said no to a meal in my life. And Bogus didn't get to you. Ended up only buying breakfast for you and Pete. And then,
I hadn't paid you back yet. So you had paid for me and Bilotti's breakfast.
Right. Because I am a man of integrity. Had I, even if you offered to pay, ordered something, I would have at least in the mindset felt like, you know what, I still had food, so whatever, I paid for everybody's breakfast. But it was the idea that I paid for you and Pete to eat when I didn't eat. And instead of just confronting you like a man, I blindsided you to all our listeners on Trash Tuesday.
Also, I mean, how many times have I bought you breakfast? I mean, just like throughout years.
No, I owe you a few meals.
I would say over the years, I think I'm still like plus 92 on breakfasts or so.
Well, but, and if I pay, it's DA money anyway. So it's
at this point, at this point, no doubt. It's got my face in Ben Franklin's area. So then this still, though, is something that is a controversy 2 years later as we're playing the clip. Mraz, you're squirming in your chair.
Because he blatantly lied. He didn't eat the meal an hour later at the office. He just pulled that literally from behind him and threw it out there in a panic. He took the sandwich home. We saw him head out, waving to the fans as he headed to the subway. He had the sandwich in his bag, and because he was in a state of panic and knew he was had, he just blurts out, well, you're a liar because I ate it an hour later. No, you didn't. We all saw you not eat it.
So this comes from, I offered to buy breakfast. Mraz had already eaten. I don't know where Bogus was that day. Maybe he had already eaten. So it's just me and Pete. I say, Pete, do you want breakfast? Pete says, yes. I get a breakfast burrito. Pete gets something. And then Mraz claims, I didn't see this, but Mraz claims Pete never ate the breakfast and brought it home.
Yeah, and ordered lunch.
And we felt as though if that was true, it's a faux pas because if I offer to buy breakfast, you can't take what I ordered you and bring it home for a different meal.
He went through the whole breakfast menu and said, you know what? I'm going to get lunch for later. Like, that's not the offer. The offer was, you want breakfast during the show. It's not, I'm going to buy your groceries for the day.
So
there's so much in that clip, too. There's so many Easter eggs in there.
So I say, well, Pete's a man of integrity. I would believe Pete. And Bogus comes in with, no, he's not. Which is such, I mean, talk about a chop block.
Yeah, well, Sean mentioned it. That that led me to tell the story of before the DA show being in the morning, where we used to go for lunch and we go to a place where you, like, it was a hot buffet and you paid by the weight of your container, and Pete used to leave a portion of the container off the scale so it weighed less.
It's not my fault.
So he paid less.
I put it on the scale like they asked. They got to do their job.
So Pete still claimed that he ate at the studio, right? Pete, you still claim that you ate it there.
I ate that 2 years ago, but I ate that sandwich.
See?
At the studio.
Yeah. See, he left two outs there. Pete, just admit, like, it's okay to laugh now.
What's the out? Here. He didn't leave it out. He said two years ago I ate the sandwich.
He started with, I ate that 2 years ago, as if I don't remember. And then he said, I ate the sandwich.
All right,
definitely
Columbo.
Ate the sandwich. And then by the third, he went in about five Mississippis to tell you at the studio.
You
need at the studio. You were wrong for getting a lunch sandwich, and even worse that you didn't eat it in the studio. It was terrible. Like, that is, it's a disgrace. And the fact that 2 years later you're going to sink to a lie like this is unbelievable.
You're a disgrace, just in general. Look at the weekend. That's all you need to say.
Also, Pete threatens Mraz in the clip of having to work every holiday for the next 2 years.
Yeah. Well, you might have to do it anyway.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Now, it is an interesting question. If somebody offers to buy you breakfast or buy you a meal, are you mandated to an unspoken contract to have to eat the meal with them?
Yes.
Or can you take that home because you're not hungry at that moment? Like, would Pete be okay if he ate half of it in the studio?
I mean, if he got full and wanted to take home, that's fine because it's one sandwich, I guess. But he's got to start eating this. You didn't say, hey, I'm going to get breakfast, Pete. You want me to buy you and Bridget dinner? Like, that's not like the ask. The ask is, I'm going to eat breakfast here. Do you want to eat some breakfast with me? I'll buy it.
Thanks for the clarification.
Bogues, where is the line on this?
I think that is the line. I think it's okay that he ordered lunch at whatever time of the morning it was because he'd already had his breakfast, but he had to eat half of the sandwich there. Taking the rest home, that would have been okay, but holding it for later altogether is where he got into some trouble.
What a week it's been for Mraz. It's been a real emotional roller coaster. Monday morning, he began the week. We should probably just pull this audio. The first words out of Mraz's mouth on Monday morning was like, excuse me, DA. Russell Wilson's good. Because his voice was shot. He was screaming so loudly on Sunday at Bob's Bar and had imbibed 27 drinks by his calculations. We went over this in detail as part of the PGP on this week's Permission Granted podcast. Which, when you really go down and you break it down, you know, it's like looking at Hank Aaron's season by season home run totals. Like, you know the number 755, but then when you really start digging in, you're like, wow, they had 47 here, 42 there, 39 here, 42 there. You're like, this is just amazing consistency. EIEIO, a Hong Kong there. I mean, you just really start delving into, wow, so you had four whiskey shots during the Giants game. Wow, that seems like a lot. Okay, well, you had five pumpkin beers. Wow, that seems like a lot. You shotgunned a Trulia in there as well. Wow, that seems like a lot.
It's a white claw, not a Trulia. Can you get cultured, please?
But that's still only 10 drinks. So there's still 17 more to process. Yeah.
Hold on. If you listen to the PGP, Bogish, it wasn't actually 27 glasses of drink. It was the stupid pumpkin beers DA turned me on to are two beers for one. It's a two-for-one alcohol deal, so it was the equivalent of 27 drinks.
No!
Hold on!
Actually, the hold on is it was 1.5 because percentage is 8.75%. So
right.
27 drinks weren't 27 separate drinks, but it was 27 drinks in totality of how much alcohol you process. But it's still, you know, yes, there was three or four beers at 1.5 times your normal percentage, and there was a glass at the end of the night of a nightcap of proper 12.
Yes.
But still, you raised 21 glasses to your mouth or something like that. It wasn't like it was less than 20 glasses or bottles that went to your mouth.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we're just counting alcohol drinks, but I just think when you write the story, it makes it seem like I had somebody pour 27 drinks for me, which is just not the case. Like, the story was written. And by the way, guys, haven't touched the stuff all week. A lot of baseball.
So you're proud
here.
Of like 20 drinks here? This is again like when you say like you use the, you know, the peanut butter spread because it's less than the chocolate syrup. Like you're okay with 20? 20 is still an alarming number.
I'd love to see what you guys do while watching football, by the way. You know, I just got
not have 20
it.
Drinks.
Bogus.
Be a human being.
You had to pedal home on a bicycle with a box full of seltzers, but suddenly I'm basically Barney Rubble from The Simpsons. I mean, what are we talking
Sean,
about?
I didn't drive them home on my bike and Barney. Then drink them all in one fell swoop that afternoon. That's the difference. I brought them home on my bicycle, not to drink them immediately from start to finish.
Okay, again, as I said in the PGP, which you could download on radio.com, I did not wake up Sunday and go, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to have about 30 drinks worth of football. It was a nice day outside. The football games were good. I was with family that, you know, we were just having a good time. And it was just one of those things where, okay, I'll have another, And all of a sudden, you don't realize what's happened. It's caught up with you. We've all been there. Stop.
I haven't.
Oh, get serious.
Not
yeah.
That gross.
I have.
Three kids, you never moseyed on down to the Jersey Shore, put your fists in the air, maybe kick the hacky sack at a Dave Matthews concert and have one too many Pacificos? What are you, nuts?
I have never stumbled my way into 20 drinks or the equivalent of 27 drinks.
Well,
no,
it
I have
must
never
be
done
great
that.
To walk in Andrew Bogus's shoes. How perfect he is. Oh, he'll
I'm
fly
not perfect,
to Cancun
but...
and go listen to All the Saints Come Marching In by Dave and a bunch of flip-flop wearers. But he'll stop at 19 drinks, folks. He's never crossed the line. I mean, come on, you prep boy.
So again, you're sitting here as if it's better
so
that
weird.
You did this and stole things from your parents' house. Like, that's the better
it's
behavior
so weird
than the rest
of you can't steal from your parents. They're your parents. I live there. I grew up there. I've given alcohol to them. They've given alcohol to me. I brought the stupid pie. It's not thievery if it's your own family. You're just, it's like taking home a goodie bag. That's all I did.
80% of our respondents of the poll yesterday said you stole.
Of course, because they think I'm a jackass. Of course they're going to side. Stupid poll. Take
you
the poll.
I'm sure your dad thought you stole from
Bogus,
him.
I'm telling you right now, the next time we're at a wedding, maybe Pete will get married a third time. I don't know. I'm counting your drinks, man. I'm counting your drinks. I don't want to hear
ahead.
It.
You're not getting anywhere near 20.
No. It just seems weird that Mraz could drink 27, the equivalent of 27 drinks on Sunday. We have video evidence of how blotto he was, and he would be the one that would lash out at us. Oh, so you're so perfect. Like, just take it. You just had a disastrous day. It's okay.
I have taken it, but a nice, hey, we've all been there would be good. I mean,
we haven't. That's the difference. We haven't.
Well, 27.
We've been with you in other places, but not this.
27 would be.
You've never had 27. I've seen you at some block parties.
Look, I can put them down, no doubt. I really like having a good time, and there's occasion where it can spin away from me. But, you know, I'm 160 pounds. If I had 27 drinks,
okay,
which was the nightcap after, you know, of whiskey, forget it. I mean, I wouldn't even be able to do the EIEIO at 27.
But okay, so that just shows how strong I am for a big man, okay? So my equivalency on what I can handle is a little differently. I'm not out there painting the town red. I got a nine-month-old daughter at home. When was the last time I acted like that? Maybe the 4th of July? Please. I had a day. And I've came here all week, and I've showed up. And we've had some good guys. We've had some good shows. You guys are, like, trying to throw me in prison.
It is funny. One day we had no guests because Jonathan Stewart didn't pick
up
the phone.
Well, that's not my fault. Oh, that still counts. The box was checked.
We had good guests, didn't we? Well, except for the day we had no guests. But other than that,
no,
we had really...
box was checked. Not my fault.
All right, AB has our headline this morning, Mr. Bokes.
Guys, the Indianapolis Colts are working from home today as they figure out confirming multiple positive COVID-19 tests within the organization. As of now, Indy plays Cincinnati on Sunday. The Falcons are hoping to return to their facility today after spending yesterday virtually following their second positive of the week. And the Browns sent Odell Beckham Jr. home yesterday when he showed up sick. His head coach, Kevin Stefanski.
With this day and age, he's got to be so careful in this environment. So just want to make sure we're being proactive in that regard.
Beckham tested negative for coronavirus all week. He took one more test before going home yesterday morning. And while we wait on Nick Saban to figure out how to coach from his family room tomorrow night, the SEC has reportedly sanctioned multiple football programs for not following COVID protocols. The punishment is getting docked $100,000. of conference revenue. In non-COVID football news, Le'Veon Bell has picked the Chiefs over the Dolphins and the Bills. Those three somehow are the Jets' next three opponents. The Chiefs game...
That's on purpose. It's got
to
be, right?
It has to be, right? The Chiefs game is November 1st. Bell will not clear coronavirus protocols for the next 5 days, so he cannot debut Monday night against Buffalo. The Houston Astros are the first team ever to start and finish a playoff game with homers. George Springer hit the first pitch of Game 5 of the ALCS out to left. Then Carlos Correa extended their season with a solo shot bottom nine off Nick Anderson.
Well, obviously we wanted to win today, and we lost.
Because Carlos Correa homered off of you. The Rays are the best or the best team this season in one-run games, but now they've lost two of them in a row to keep the Astros alive. Game 6 at 3 Pacific today. Then we get Game 5 in the NLCS at 8 Central. The Braves are one win from their first World Series since 99 after last night's 10-2 knockdown of the Dodgers.
Huh.
Yeah. Atlanta's first four runs charged to Clayton Kershaw over 5+. Three of them came in a 6-run six for Atlanta. But don't talk to Dave Roberts about Kershaw's postseason shortcomings.
He gave us a chance to win the baseball game. You know, we couldn't put any runs up early and get a lead and or hold a lead, you know, after the Eddie home run. But that narrative couldn't be further from the truth.
The Dodgers did score first last night on Edwin Rios' solo homer in the third. Kershaw's LCS ERA is now 4.84. The Braves, meanwhile, got six stellar innings from 22-year-old righty Bryce Wilson.
So this run that the Dodgers are on, eight consecutive NL West division titles, began with Don Mattingly as the manager. He was at the helm for the first three. He went to an NLCS and then lost in the DS consecutive years. Then they moved to Dave Roberts. He's been as part of the last five. Roberts has made the NLCS twice. He'll lose this one. Lost to the DS last year to the Nats and lost two World Series. 1-5 to the Red Sox, 1-7, memorably against the Astros. They've been incredibly patient with Dave Roberts. He's a likable guy. He's a stand-up guy. They really like him. But if they don't get to a World Series this year, and I think this series is over, is it possible they finally make a change? And that they go on manager number three, trying to figure out what the secret sauce is? Because, I mean, eight consecutive division titles, and they've gone to two World Series and lost them both? That's not good enough for this roster. It's not good enough for this payroll at this point, right?
And they just committed to Mookie Betts long term. I have a tough time saying that, because I guess the answer to the question would be, who do you replace him with? You can't just fire him to fire him. Are they going to bring in an Alex Cora or an A.J. Hinch to try to get them over the hump? I guess. But you better have a pretty damn good plan, because at least Dave Roberts is getting there, and you're only just starting the Mookie Betts era. I know it looks bad because it's 8 years, but the idea of bringing a Mookie Betts is the guy that's going to get you over the hump, and that's only just beginning. So where
I agree.
The fine line?
So you say you bring back Roberts, assuming that you'd, with Mookie for another full season, you give Roberts another spin around the thing.
Yeah, give Roberts a real Mookie Betts season, 162-game marathon, fans in attendance, playoff games in your place with Mookie Betts. I kind of feel like this year, as much as it counts, you do kind of have to take things with a grain of salt and just understand things were a little different, things were wacky, things were goofy, and you still got to an NLC.
I see your point. The only problem with that theory, though, is that they made the playoffs as a dominant team. They were 43-17 this year. So it wasn't like the awkward, abnormal season affected their regular season. They were just as dominant as they always are. And then they get to the playoffs, and they rip through the first two rounds, and then they once again hit an LCS against a good team and can't get over the hump. You know, so it's almost like this feels like it would have happened anyway, even if it was a real season. This
That's
is what every happens every year.
I guess, but I would still say Mookie Betts, extra juice, no fans at Dodger Stadium going absolutely berserk for big moments. That could make things a little harder on, you know, a young Braves team, something like that. I know this sounds like excuse-making, but I just think you can't look at it as the eight-year totality. I think you needed to look at Mookie Betts, one of the premier stars, joining a Clay Bellinger with a down year, and say this is the start of an era now. And I think you're taking the last 8 years and not understanding that maybe this year is kind of, okay, let's see where we can get going, and it's the first year of a new era. And are you going to pull the plug after the first year of this based on the eight previous years? I think there's a weird fine line there. I would go at least one more year.
Okay, I could live with one more year, but if he flames out again in October next year, I don't see how you could possibly think anything's going to change.
Guys, Ty Lue is the Clippers' new head coach. Daryl Morey's stepping down as Rockets GM at the end of the month, and the NBA and Players Association have agreed for a third time to delay their mutual deadline for opting out of the current CBA. It's now October 30th, giving them two more weeks to make modifications to the current CBA needed because of COVID's effect on league finances. It is still assumed that no matter what, neither side will actually use that opt-out to end this current CBA. And now, a stunned
yes. Bacon.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
With bacon.
I gotta thank Stephen Murray for sending this one my way. I'm not sure where Hormel was on Sean's grocery store bacon power rankings, but I assume this will help them move up if necessary. Hormel has launched, quote, breathable bacon, a coronavirus mask, quote, ooh, featuring the latest in pork-scented technology. Oh. Who knew that was a thing to begin with, that now there is the latest in pork-scented technology? Between now and October 28th, you can request one of these free bacon-smelling masks at breathablebacon.com. Hormel will donate a meal to Feeding America, up to 10,000 meals with every mask request. So this, everybody wins out of this. You get to smell bacon. People who need help get help.
Oh,
my only concern here, guys, is can there be too much of a good thing? Could you ruin bacon's delicious smell by having it right in your gullet for a long period of time?
I don't think so. I think that it's the gift that keeps on giving. You'd always want to smell bacon. I think the problem is you'd be craving bacon every second of the day, which would lead to probably sensory overload and this kind of like never-ending, like frantic pace, like when a dog gets hungry and it can't stop yelping and eating things and chasing things. Like you would just be chasing pigs around the yard. You'd be just like going to the supermarket, immediately turn off the side of the road to get into a supermarket to go buy bacon. I can't imagine smelling bacon right in your schnoz constantly all day long doesn't lead you to want to eat bacon like 3 to 4 times a day.
I would also say that if you think about it, when do you wear your mask, I would say, the most consistently? Now, everybody, we all wear masks, but I'm talking about the place that you probably have the mask on for the longest period of straight minutes is the supermarket. If I'm wearing this food shopping in the supermarket, the old saying, you never shop hungry, I would venture to guess wearing this mask, I am more likely to spend an extra $75 or so in the supermarket because I'm just going to be starving going through that. And I bet you good marketing by Hormel. They're thinking maybe Hormel's on your mind. You're wearing this while food shopping. Now you're going to buy more of their products. You get the free mask, but you're buying stuff that you wouldn't normally buy. It's a big win-win for them. I would end up spending way more money in the food store wearing this food shopping.
And frankly, it sounds like us and Hormel have a natural partnership that should be bridged here, because it says Hormel's recent innovations include the Black Market, which is a multi-sensory virtual reality experience. So it sounds like there's probably flying bacon bits like going by your face in some type of VR world, and ham hocks and things like this, pork shoulders. Also, the development of a musical experience using the sounds of bacon and the world's first bacon-fueled motorcycle. This is right up our alley. So almost Hormel should probably sponsor the DA show, because this feels like we could build entire episodes around a musical experience with just the sounds of bacon.
Imagine our first days back in the studio, we all ride in on bacon-fueled motorcycles. I think that's a heck of a documentary to shoot. How great would that be?
Oh, man. I mean, and is there anything better than the how we're all going with the thick cut now, the home style bacon? Like,
You've been all over it.
It used to be you just get the little thin strips. I mean, 10 years ago, that's all you're getting is the little thin strips everywhere. And then people realized thick cut bacon was really popular. And now wherever you go, home style, applewood smoked, thick cut. I mean, it's like you're getting real pieces of the hog there, which is to me a lot bang for your buck. It's a hearty bacon now.
Yeah, it's totally a hearty bacon. I don't know about you guys. If you ever go to one of these fancy burger places, you try to get a burger. Now, I don't know how anybody orders a burger if you see one out with bacon on it. All right? The bacon is in your face. And usually you're getting that thick cut, like you said, sometimes that blackened, Oh, I gotta go.
You just stopped in the middle of a thought and just groaned.
I'm honestly now thinking about getting a bacon, egg, and cheese delivered here. This is, and I won't save it for later, Pete. I'm starving. Yeah.
So here is the do's and don'ts for the breathable bacon mask from Hormel. Do keep facial orifices snugly covered to enjoy maximum whiffage. Don't. Breathable bacon smells great. Don't sleep on it. So it says don't put it over your eyes. Do not put it in your mouth. Do not attempt to eat Hormel Black Label breathable bacon. And do not. Nose exposure allows essential bacon scent to escape. So don't put it only over your mouth, because if you don't put it over your nose, you're letting that scent escape. So they've got the do's and don'ts of this breathable bacon mask.
My doggone, but you guys would be going nuts if I have a mask hanging in the, you know, on the coat rack ready to go out. It smells like bacon. Forget about it.
Oh, yeah. Now we need bacon. So if we ordered breakfast right now with tons of bacon, would Pete eat it?
Pete would have a quarter of it out of guilt, and then three quarters of it he would split with Bridget.
No, he wouldn't.
Yes,
he would eat it.
Yes, he was. A tiger doesn't change its... Wait, who is it? The
stripes.
Zebra?
You're good. You're there.
The tiger doesn't change its stripes.
Education.
You should not have helped him out there. I was waiting for him to do the spots with the tiger and the leopard heads, the stripes.
No, sorry.
No, I thought maybe zebra doesn't change its stripes, but it's a tiger.
A bear doesn't change its tails.
Right. A cougar doesn't change its spots. How about that?
We needed a 75th buffoon cut.
It's a spread. It's a line. It's Super Dave.
Well, I'm just never going to pass up an opportunity to chant, "Let's go, Peen." Mississippi is just the pinnacle of college football right now, with Lane Kiffin and Mike Leach and Deion Sanders.
With your weekly college football picks.
I think about it because obviously on sale means you're getting a bargain, but I think I'd buy a racehorse first.
Thank you, Super Dave.
Super Dave this year is 6-8-1 on the season. Mraz is 11-4, so Super Dave has some catching up to do. Super Dave, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, DA. I'm well. Mraz is on fire, but we know he tends to fade late.
No question. It opened the door for you to come back and win last season, forcing him to take the SAT. And so we begin with Syracuse and Liberty. Somehow at the Carrier Dome, Liberty is a 3-point favorite. Is this the day the Carrier Dome died?
Yeah, they did a $100 million renovation on the Carrier Dome, and if they lose to Liberty, they might as well just implode it. Let's be honest here. Syracuse is a really bad ACC football team. Their quarterback, Tommy DeVito, is out. They've got several running backs hurt. Their best player, Andrew Sisco, is done for the year. But they're playing Liberty. If you lose to Liberty and you're Dino Babers, you should be talking to your agent and looking very carefully at your contract and figuring out how much money you can take out, because your future is not a very strong one. This is a team that Syracuse beat last year 24-0. You remember Hugh Freeze coached that game in a hospital bed from the press box in Lynchburg? Liberty went on to win that memorable Cure Bowl over Georgia Southern. This year, they're 4-0. The Flames are 4-0. Those four teams are combined 1-11. Oh. I'm not telling you Syracuse is going to win, but they're getting points. They're at home. And if you can't beat Liberty, you might as well just stop playing football and get ready for basketball season.
Let's move on elsewhere in the ACC. Wake Forest and Virginia. Wake Forest plus the 2.5. Why? Because two equal teams, but the home team off of a bye as an underdog is your type of bargain.
Yeah, you know, there's nothing that fun or sexy about this game. I just think you're getting value with Wake Forest. Both of these teams have lost to Clemson and lost to NC State. Virginia beat Duke 38-20, and Wake Forest blew out Campbell. But you get Wake at home and off a bye, very similar resumes, you get points. I just think the Demon Deacons give you a little bit of value.
And finally, Memphis against UCF. This game is at Memphis. UCF is a 3-point favorite. But the Liberty Bowl is going to be sold out with 10,000 fans, perhaps to honor their legendary mascot. So where do you go here?
There's not going to be a dry eye in the house. Before the game begins, there's going to be a ceremony to honor Tom the Third. That's Tom, T-O-M, Tigers of Memphis. He passed away just after his 12th birthday on September 18th. He was born in Wisconsin, but obviously a Tennessee type. No word whether he was a bigger fan of Corky's Barbecue or Rendezvous. He may have liked both, but I still don't think the football team's good enough. I think they spent kind of a month honoring Tom when they were out for COVID, eating a lot of barbecue, and they came back and played okay against SMU, a 30-27 loss last week, but they gave up 500 yards of offense. I don't see any way that Memphis is going to stop UCF. UCF has won 13 straight games in this matchup. UCF won both the 17 and 18 American Conference title games against Memphis. Both of those would have covered this three-point spread. I think UCF is pretty good. I think they pass for as many yards as they want to. And, you know, the fans, the 10,000 of them, they're all riled up. They're all excited about Tom. I think they cry at the ceremony and throughout the game.
Those are the picks from Super Dave. We ran out of time last week, but I wanted to ask you about Greg Marshall, because he coached Winthrop to 6 regular season titles. You've been at Winthrop for a long time. You've watched Greg Marshall teams. He's now under the spotlight and the scrutiny of allegations going on at Wichita State. What are your thoughts of Greg Marshall right now, who is dealing with a lot of very intense allegations?
As a basketball coach, X's and O's, at practice, in games, there aren't 10 coaches in the country over the last decade and a half better than Greg Marshall. Greg Marshall's idol is Bob Knight, and there is some tough love. Did he cross a line? I wasn't at Wichita State practice. I don't know. I know that Greg Marshall makes his players better, and I know sometimes Greg Marshall breaks his players down in order to build them up again. I am very suspicious about the stuff that says there were racial overtones. I never saw that in my years at Winthrop, but what happened on a single day? I don't know, DA.
So the allegations are pretty aggressive, and we've seen some video that has surfaced of him really going after officials, really needing to be kind of pulled back after a really intense confrontation with officials. That was at McGill University in a preseason game. And I wonder, with his very aggressive style of coaching, did you run into players that were bent out of shape, that did want to transfer, that did feel like you went over the line, or were you constantly around players that appreciated that by the end of their tenure?
I think somewhere in between. I remember talking to Craig Bradshaw, one of his best players at Winthrop, after Bradshaw graduated. Bradshaw was part of a team that went 29-5 and beat Notre Dame in the first round of the NCAA tournament. And it was a few months after his graduation. He was beginning his pro career. And I said, what do you think after all of those years? And he said something like, you know, he was a tough son of a gun, and there were days I hated him, and he made me a small fortune.
That's an interesting way to put it. Dave Friedman is our college football picker. If he ends up winning this, he forces Mraz to do a book report on the book of our choice. If Mraz beats him, he's got to use our drops, like a with bacon, in one of his Winthrop basketball play-by-play calls this upcoming season. So
with bacon.
We wait to see how it unfolds. Super Dave, always good to talk to you, buddy. Thanks.
Great to talk with you, DA.
Standing by with our head.
It's a plane! It's
Super Dave.
Super Dave! I love it.
Huffiness with football. Mraz gives you his NFL picks every week. It's Up the Gut, only on the DA Show.
Now, we do poke fun at Mraz quite a bit here on the show this week specifically, but he actually went 3-0 last week in his picks. to put him at a very commanding 11-4 on the season. So if you're betting with Mraz, you're making money on his NFL picks. We begin with the Packers and the Bucks. In this game, you got him at a pick'em. You like the Packers on the road in Tampa.
Right. The spread is varying depending on where you get it. I just checked within the last 5 minutes, and I still got it at a pick'em. You saw it at -1. It really doesn't matter to me because you can take the 1 point, you can take the pick'em. The Packers are going to win this game. What Tom Brady wilts the most with and had to deal with this last week versus the Bears is pass rush. So while the focus should be on Aaron Rodgers and the Packers' offense and how they could score points in bunches, remember we gave that note earlier in the show, they haven't won a game by less than a touchdown all year. I do expect them to throw all over this Bucs defense, but I really expect the Packer pass rush, led by a couple of Smiths, to get after and hit Brady and punish Brady all game long. And I have a feeling by about 7:30 p.m. Eastern, I won't be sitting there stumbling on a recliner. Instead, it'll be Bucs fans going, what happened? I thought this was going to be such a big year. And I think you actually have a very embarrassing afternoon for Tom Brady and the Bucs, where the Packers beat them by a couple scores. Give me the Packers and a pick'em.
I think the Packers right now are the best team in football. I know that they don't get the same credit on defense that the Chiefs and Ravens do, but I think that they're that good. And if the Packers win this football game, the Buccaneers fall to a very pedestrian 3-3 at the six-week mark here on the season. In the NFC West, it's the Sunday night game. The Rams travel to San Francisco to take on the 49ers. I think you're right on the money with this pick. Rams are laying 3 on the road. The Niners have 2 wins on the season against the garbage New York teams. Yep. The Rams are only laying 3 here, and you like the Rams by more than a field goal.
Yeah, Rams 49ers in a night game will always be near and dear to my heart. Remember, that was the very last thing I was able to watch before my daughter was born on a Saturday night last year. They played some pretty wild games, and in the NFC West, sometimes you could do that, throw the records out the book situation. I think the Rams are on the comeback here. I know they've had some of these games where you expect to win by a little more, like that Giant game. They don't. They punished Washington a week ago on the road. And look what their defensive front, led by Aaron Donald, was able to do. I mean, Alex Smith was running for his life in that game. I think the San Francisco 49ers offensive line, which has had its own trouble this year, is going to have fits with the Rams' defensive front. And I think ultimately Jimmy Garoppolo is feeling a little bit of pressure now since he's come back after Nick Mullins was able to win a game. He has a bad effort last week, the Garoppolo versus Miami. I think the Rams' defense is going to be in his face all game long. Important to note here, this is about the 49ers defense. Their depth isn't what we thought they would be with all of these injuries. They are 2-0 overall, 2-0 against the spread this season when they allow fewer than 22.8 points. So just getting to 23 points is the magic number here, as Vegas and the spreads would get to. And I imagine the Rams have no problem finding their way to 23 or more points. Give me the Rams laying the 3 on Sunday night. Hello? Did we lose a DA? All right, I'm going to give you a pick number 3. It's very weird now. If you're watching on twitch.tv/CBS Sports Radio or watch DA.
He's frozen. Is he okay?
DA has his frozen look where he just looks like he's so angry. It's almost like he looks like the Teddy Roosevelt wax figure in Night at the Museum, Bogues. So we're going to press on here. I'm going to give you pick number 3. I'm going with the Dolphins laying 9 versus the Jets. Ooh. I am at 11-4 here. It's a big number. I'm 11-4, but I'm so sick and tired of not capitalizing on the Jets being dreadful. Every time you see a big number versus the Jets, you're thinking, well, this is the week. They're going to find a way to keep a game close. They just dumped Lev Bell. Adam Gase is dead. I mean, the Jets aren't playing for him. He's had it. How about this, too, for Miami? This is the first week that they have ever been a favorite in a game that Brian Flores coaches them. So the Dolphins have yet to be favored since Brian Flores takes over. This is the first time. It's a big number laying 9. I know a lot of people think let down. They blew out the Niners last week. But these are the New York stinking Jets, who are going to lose every game by 2 touchdowns when they're facing a much better opponent. And that's exactly what the Miami Dolphins are. Give me the Dolphins laying the 9 versus the Jets. My 3 picks again. I'm 11-4 on the year. I don't care what Sharp Tierney and BT does during Tiki and Tierney. Your best NFL picks are right here in the morning show on the DA show. Packers in a pick 'em at the Bucs. The Rams laying 3 at the 49ers, and the Dolphins -9 at the Jets. That is my picks here. And Bogish, I guess, without DA, we got to do a football food of the week here, right? I mean, there's no telling. We may not see DA till Monday at this point with that frozen face.
Yeah. So what dip with bacon are you making for us this weekend?
I was thinking about that. I'm giving you Dr. Pepper pulled pork sliders. That might be a lot of alliteration.
With bacon.
You're going to get yourself a pork shoulder, a pork tenderloin, or even some thin pork chops. You got to go crazy. Get yourself a slow cooker. Bogus, you're somebody who loves a smoker. I'm going to tell you, go crock pot here. You throw that in. You want to get whatever seasoning, a little salt, pepper, a little garlic powder, and I will give you whatever your barbecue sauce is of choice. If you like a honey barbecue, that's fine. You like a good Stubbs traditional, that's fine as well. Pour whatever can of barbecue sauce you want in there. Now crack open not one, but two cans of Dr. Pepper. What that does, much like you saw with the Coke ribs I gave you a year ago, the sugar from that soda will cook into the meat, sweeten it up just a little bit. But the Dr. Pepper also gives it a little bit of that cherry flavor. So that cherry flavor with the sugars mixes with that barbecue sauce, and you'll still get your spices of the salt, pepper, garlic powder. I recommend cooking this for about 10 hours, so it might be something if there's a football Sunday you want to get involved with. Maybe you throw it in the night before and have that all primed and ready for a little Steelers-Browns, if that is your fancy that needs to be tickled. But I'm giving you Dr. Pepper pulled pork sliders. That is my football food of the week, folks. Your thoughts?
It sounds delicious. 10 hours is a long time. That's to take some planning to figure out when the right 10-hour window it is, but it sounds like it'll pay off once you get to the end of those 10 hours. And to steal a page out of your book, I'd argue that Diet Dr. Pepper, not for this recipe, as a drink, Diet Dr. Pepper is the number one diet soda that you can find. Diet Root Beer is close. Regular Diet Coke, Diet Pepsi is terrible, but Diet Dr. Pepper, at least for me, gets me close enough to real Dr. Pepper without the 17,000 pounds of sugar that's in normal soda.
So I can't trust enough. You need the sugar in the pulled pork, so don't go Dr. Diet Pepper
full,
there.
You need full Dr. Right. Pepper for this.
But maybe I should have about five Diet Dr. Peppers instead of 16 Shipyard Pumpkins this Sunday. We will see what shape we are in. And that is your Up the Gut in this week number 6 in the NFL.
It's a Friday fiesta. Here's what our listeners in the Target demo are up to.
On Twitter, Nicholas tweets, I'm in Columbus, Ohio, listening on the radio.com app. Question, if Mraz attempts to create the Batman vest, does it increase the chance of an oopsie? Hashtag everyone has a six pack. You don't want to constrict his gut too much. Those internal organs need to have room to breathe. GC tweets, I'm on Long Island, CBS Sports Network, getting ready for my Zoom meeting. Friday night Zoom, mean you could get a little loose. Sweatpants, slippers, maybe a little booze in your coffee. Jay Sachs tweets, man, I would love to hear a with bacon drop in the midst of Dave Friedman's discussing Greg Marshall allegations on a Winthrop game broadcast.
Bacon.
With bacon.
Carla tweets, I'm in Meridian, Idaho, listening on The Ticket. I'm on my way to school to teach my kiddos. Hashtag beam me up. Justin is in Savannah, Georgia, listening on the CBS Sports app. I'm going to be building my girls a swing set and grilling out before the world of outlaw sprint car racing tonight on Dirt Vision. Let's go. Kevin is listening in Albany, New York. Currently window cleaning, blasting the DA show on Twitch.
I have a weird waist.
Troy is listening on his phone in Vancouver, delivering bread to a grocery store. He started at 3:30 in the morning today. Mariana's listening on the radio.com app, getting ready for her last day of work. I'll have to find new material for Trash Tuesday. I'm excited to listen all the way up until 10 a.m. from now on.
I don't even have a job, Damien.
Lonnie says, happy Friday in Arizona, listening on the radio.com app. I'm at work with bacon.
With bacon.
Bacon.
Alien Kush is apparently now the doppelganger, the secondary account of Alien OG, because Alien OG is right now in Twitter purgatory. He says he's ready to hit the yard, pump some iron after the show, maybe get a tattoo and have 27 drinks of toilet hooch and try not to get shanked.
I'm the man!
I'm
years ago, probably 1,000.
Sports Mira Mira on a Target Demo Friday. There's a word for 27 drinks, Mraz. It's called alcohol poisoning, a.k.a. dead. Don't try this at home, kids. Mraz is an enigma. You could say that again.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
Thomas is listening on SiriusXM 206 in Texas. Last day doing rocket science from home, back to the office on Monday. Please beam me directly to Bob's Bar on Sunday. Hashtag Mraz Intervention. Jeff tweets, he's polishing off, listening to Mraz justify parental thievery and polishing a case worth of booze to drown his football sorrows and celebrate his beloved Rays is just what I need this morning. Listening on the radio.com app at work in Marlton, New Jersey. Hashtag Target Demo Friday.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
Charles is in Conway, South Carolina, listening on 100.3 The Team. Painting the world a brighter color, waiting for my Coastal Carolina American football to get some national respect. Hashtag Target Demo Friday. You just gave it to him. Nice job. The Chanticleers. Caleb is in Flavortown, Ohio, listening via the Google Podcasts after the show, getting ready to go deliver some mail. Hashtag my coworker's a jerk. Hashtag, can I get a beam up? Hashtag, I hate the Steelers. Case is a steam fitter in Toronto listening with the Twitch TV app. Just killing time before work. Hashtag, beam me up. Justin is listening and he's waiting for my plane to board at BWI Airport. Getting ready to go home. Hashtag, Target Demo Friday. Chuck tweets, he's listening on the radio.com app in Cleveland. Between Mraz's Twitter punishment, Evil Mraz, and Drunken Mraz, has there ever been a two-week period in show history that has had so many 12 DAs contenders? Hashtag 12 DAs.
With bacon.
It's true. Mraz's Twitter punishment, Evil Mraz, Drunken Mraz, there's been so much to sift through. Mike tweets, he's listening on 1260 in Erie, PA, going on a sales call to sell a bunch of high school kids some Letterman jackets. Hashtag, I don't even have a job, Damien.
I don't even have a job, Damien.
E-I-E-I-O. We're all unk here.
Mraz said with an unk unk here. An unk unk. On Facebook, Jeff writes, DA, I'll be listening later on in the morning via the podcast. I'm in Idaho while hitting the gym. Keep up the great work, you guys rock. Hashtag, can I get a beam up?
Bacon.
Branded on Facebook. Happy Friday. Listening on the CBS Sports app in Tacoma. Going to watch some football this week and drink some beers, eat wings. Hashtag, how many beers ago?
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
Craig is on Facebook. Representing the 727. Waiting for Mraz post the show to podcast so I can listen while I do a bit of lawn mowing and yard-ening. With bacon.
With bacon.
Tim is in Boise, listening on SiriusXM. Boats hooked up. One last bass fishing trip for the year. Hashtag little wet, little drippy.
Take them away.
Delbert, what up, DA? I'm in Detroit. I'm listening to you guys on my phone, and my friend Jacqueline is with me as well. We love Cleveland plus the 4, Green Bay, and Baltimore laying the 9. Hashtag Target Demo Friday.
Potatoes with bacon.
Joe is on WXNT in Indianapolis, working from home and wondering if the Colts game will be canceled due to COVID. Hashtag beam me up. Hashtag we miss little Mo. David's in Huntsville, Alabama, SiriusXM 206, sitting in the truck waiting for Waffle House to open. Hashtag, you need to eat like this.
French fried with bacon.
Potato. Patty is up early listening on radio.com and traveling to my hometown of Suffern, New York for my daughter's wedding this afternoon. Congratulations. It's a momentous day for us. So can I get a beam up?
Fruit
very
with bacon.
Cool. Very, very cool. Congratulations. There should be plenty of apps that have bacon at this wedding. All right, that is your Target Demo Friday. Let's get to your epic fail of the morning. Mraz attacks Bogish for his lack of ability to drink as much as Mraz drinks. Here it is, your epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
We've all been there. Hey, stop.
I haven't.
Oh, get serious.
Not
yeah.
That gross.
I have.
Three kids, you never moseyed on down to the Jersey Shore, put your fists in the air, yeah, maybe kicked a hacky sack at a Dave Matthews concert, and had one too many Pacificos? What are you, nuts?
I have never stumbled my way into 20 drinks, or the equivalent of 27 drinks.
Well,
no,
it
I have
must
never
be
done
great
that.
To walk in Andrew Bogus's shoes.
Coward.
How perfect he is. Oh, he'll
I'm
fly
not perfect,
to Cancun
but...
and go listen to All the Saints Come Marching In by Dave and a bunch of flip-flop wearers, but he'll stop at 19 drinks, folks. He's never crossed the line. I mean, come on, you prep boy.
So again, you're sitting here as if it's better
so
that
weird.
You did this and stole things from your parents' house. Like, that's the better
it's
behavior
so weird
than the rest of
you can't steal from your parents. They're your parents.
DA, I got to run real 1 second. I got to nuke you.
I live there. I grew up there. I've given alcohol to them. They've given alcohol to me. I brought the stupid pie. It's not thievery if it's your own family. You're just, it's like taking home a goodie bag. That's all I did.
80% of our respondents to the poll yesterday said you stole.
Of course, because they think I'm a jackass. Of course they're going to side. Stupid poll. Take
you
the poll.
I'm sure your dad thought you stole from
Bogus, him. Bogus, I'm telling you right now, the next time we're at a wedding, maybe Pete will get married a third time. I don't know.
Waka, waka.
I'm counting your drinks, man. I'm counting your drinks. I don't want to
hear
it.
Go ahead. You're not getting anywhere near 20.
I'm not out there painting the town red. I got a 9-month-old daughter at home. When was the last time I acted like that? Maybe the 4th of July? Please. I had a day. And I've came here all week, and I've showed up. We've had some good guys.
Things have changed.
Well, we had some good shows. You guys are, like, trying to throw me in prison.
It is funny. One day we had no guests because Jonathan Stewart didn't pick
well,
up the phone.
Well, that's not my fault. Oh, that still counts. The box is checked.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
What a bizarre morning where Mraz tries to paint Bogus as a goody two-shoes for stopping at 19 drinks. Oh, you're such a good guy. Oh, you stop at 19 drinks. What kind of argument is that? Yeah. Oh, look at me. I'm perfect. I stop at 19.
Yeah, everybody's had that day where they drink the equivalent of 6 people's worth of alcohol. It happens to all of us.
Also, Mraz, when the last time I had a day like this, 4th of July? 2 weeks ago at my house was that day.
I stepped up.
Aren't I allowed to have a day? Yeah, it's called every Saturday or Sunday.
I'm sure your wife liked putting you in a car with a baby there.
On Facebook, Dorian writes, I'm at work making the Jeep Gladiator, loving the show. With bacon. He's in Toledo.
With bacon.
I just love the idea that no matter what, you could always add with the bacon to anything. Like, I'm listening on radio.com while making a Jeep Gladiator with bacon.
With bacon.
Andrew is in Michigan on the radio.com app getting ready to go do some leaf peeping this morning. Hashtag foliage with bacon.
With bacon.
Grant is in Wichita, also on radio.com, hitting the gym three weeks until my bodybuilding show without bacon. That'll do it for us this morning here on the show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer on the bacon. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel and audio director. Thanks
with
to
bacon.
Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA and the
with
Master
bacon.
Of Memes. Thanks to Andrew Bogus on your headlines. This goody two shoes stops at 19 drinks. What's wrong with that guy? I'm
with
DA.
Bacon.
Have a great weekend. The Mothership disconnects.
With bacon.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.